Well, brethren, it's good to be among you once again. And make sure I'm all mic'd up here. And as we will continue this morning and this evening, similar to what we did last Lord's Day, we're going to continue on this theme of prayer. But today our focus will be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, both the morning and in the evening. And before we delve in, let us once again pray and ask for God's help upon us before we proceed. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for bringing us together. And we have come together in the name of Jesus. And we do ask our Father that as you look upon us and see us and you know us, we ask that you would come and help us out of your knowledge of each one of us, that you would grant us the help of your Spirit to open our minds, to enlarge our hearts, to open our mouths, that all that would take place in this hour and throughout this day, that you would bring about that which would be pleasing in your sight. So we ask as we consider you, Lord Jesus, when you were on earth, Lord, we know that you are alive, you are at the right hand of the throne of God. You said that you are here where two or three are gathered together in your name. And so, Lord, we're praying to you and through you to the Father, and we ask that you would come and help us, that you would manifest yourself to us, and that you would make us to be a people that will learn and pray as you have prayed in our lives, and that you would get glory to yourself through us. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that we've been considering last week and now this week is from the Shorter Catechism, question number 107. And the question reads, what rule has God given for the direction of his people in prayer? What rule or prescribed guide or guideline God has given for the direction of his people in prayer? And the answer to that question is, the whole Word of God is of use to direct his people in prayer, but the special rule of direction is that pattern of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. So the answer in terms of the rule, the guide that God has given for his people for the direction of prayer, you know, you think about, and I'm not trying to compare this church with other churches, but we all have, to some degree or another, we may have been in other type of churches where things are done very differently. Often, some churches, they wait for the Spirit to lead them, and then you don't know what's going to happen next. all kinds of prayers for this and that, all kinds of activities that are going on, and often you find yourself in a place where there's confusion and the Word of God is not being opened up and proclaimed. And so when we think of this matter of prayer, prayer is not something that we don't use our minds. We kind of maybe close our eyes and wait for something to happen or wait for some feeling or emotion. No, that's not what we need to do in prayer. Prayer, God has given us specific principles and guidelines in the Bible to guide us and direct us even when we pray. And yes, we do have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God enlarges our heart. The Spirit of God help us to have the desires and help us to come before God. And even if we don't have all the words, it says the Spirit intercedes with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's in Romans chapter 8. However, God has given us specific and general direction for us to pray. So we don't need to wait and try to wait for some feeling. You know, I'm not saying feelings are not important, but we have the Word of God to guide us and direct us. And that's the whole point that I'm bringing out in these Sunday school lessons. The specific rule or the special rule is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc. That is a guide. And we touched on that. But our focus is not so much on the special rule that is the Lord's Prayer, but the general rule, the whole Word of God. Not just the Lord's Prayer, but we have the entirety of the Scripture in Genesis through Revelation. And what we were doing is that we were looking at some examples of prayer. Examples of godly men. I wanted to get to Hannah, but unfortunately won't be able to have time to get to her. But godly women and their prayers to God. And if you remember that, you recall that the best prayer, well, two things. The Bible is sufficient or is the best book to read for the development of your prayer life, all right? Not to have more feelings and wait for something special to happen, but read the Scriptures. The more you read, the more you prayerfully read and study the Scriptures, God is going to meet with you. God is going to teach you, and you're going to learn even from examples of others who prayed. And the Word of God, as it is in your mind and in your heart, that's going to give you the words to bring before God, because the Word is in your heart. And that's the best book to read. This is the best book to read for the development of your prayer life. The second principle or thing that I mentioned is that the best prayer that is offered that we could ever pray is the one that God hears. The best prayer that a man or woman could pray is the prayer that God hears. And remember, we can use a lot of words. We can have a lot of emotion. We can use, it can be very impressive in our approach and all these things and the words and the emotion and all of that. But if God doesn't hear, the prayer means nothing. It means nothing. And we looked at Elijah with the prophets of Baal and how they had their rituals, and they were praying to a God that doesn't exist. Jesus, even in Matthew 6, he says, don't use vain repetitions, for they think that they are here for their much, that they are heard because of their much speaking. So it's not the length of your prayer. I mean, we're not timing it that it has to be a minute, it has to be 2 minutes. It's not about the duration of the prayer, but it's about the faith that you bring and the heart that you bring and praying according to God's will. We learn from 1 John 5:14, if we pray according to His will, He hears us. We know we have the petitions we have asked for Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And then we looked at a few other verses, but I'll stop it right there in terms of the summary. Now for this morning, I want us to look at the Lord Jesus. I mean, we looked at Hezekiah. I don't think I looked at Daniel. I didn't look at Daniel. There's Hannah. There's others we can look at. But because this is my last Sunday here, at least for now, I want us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater example of prayer than the Lord Jesus Himself. And for this morning, and in this evening, I want us to consider these questions. When we consider Jesus, we want to consider, when did Jesus pray? When did He pray? Secondly, we want to consider, where did he pray? Thirdly, what did he pray? And in the evening, Lord willing, why did Jesus pray? So there's all these W's. When did he pray? Where did he pray? What did he pray? And why did he pray? Now, remember, think about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God who came from heaven. He came by way of the womb of Mary. And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you say conceived, he always existed. There never was a time where he did not exist. God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. At that point, the Word was spirit. There was no flesh. There was no human characteristics about him. Until, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that process was through Mary. So the Spirit of God, the Son of God, came into the womb of Mary by the Spirit of God, and the conception was in terms of his humanity. So he derived a human nature, he became a human being while he continued to be God. He never stopped being God. And so through that whole process, he became a man. And what came out of her womb was the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's why he was able to heal, walk on water. He can give sight to the blind. He knew what people were thinking because he is God. But he is also man. He got tired. He got thirsty. He slept. You see, God doesn't slumber nor sleep. But as a man, he slept. And he had anxiety and fear. And as a man, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed to his Father who is in heaven. He wasn't two personalities. He's one person, but he has two natures. Okay, he's not two different people. He has two natures within himself, but he's one person, the Son of God, who existed through all eternity. But as he was on earth, he had to grow, right? He had to learn his ABCs when he was 12 years old. He had to mature. He grew in wisdom and stature. And so he had to learn and develop just like any other human being. But the difference is he had no sin. He had no sin. He was truly a man, but without sin. So in terms of him as a man, think about his prayer life when he prayed as a man. And so I want to consider firstly, when did Jesus pray? Now, keep in mind, he did no sin. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 6, the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. I'm thinking as Jesus commenced his earthly ministry, Jesus was very busy. He had a very busy schedule, and yet he had time for prayer. We read in Mark chapter 6, and I'll begin at verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together to Jesus, and they told him all things whatsoever they had done, and whatsoever they had taught. Now this is after Jesus has sent the apostles two by two to bring the gospel to various villages. He gave them authority and power over demons. He gave them instruction what to do. The disciples, having fulfilled this missionary trip, if you will, or this missions operation, they come back, they tell Jesus what has happened, and we read in verse 31, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while." Not that Jesus was doing nothing, because when we read, Jesus was healing people, the crowds was following him everywhere he went. Jesus was extremely busy, but notice what we read here. He says, "Come ye apart to a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, not so much as to eat." They were so busy that they didn't have time to sit down and eat a meal. They had no leisure because many were coming and going. And that's the multitudes. And so they go apart, they go away to try to get a little break, right? Verse 32. "And they went away in the boat to the desert place apart." So they got away from everyone. "And the people saw them going, and many knew them, and they ran together there on foot from all the cities, and outwent them. And he came forth and saw a great multitude." And notice this. Was he irritated? Was he annoyed? Was he frustrated because these people are keep bugging him? They can't even give him a little break so he can have a little time to himself, right? We would feel that way when we've been so busy. We say, "Look, can you just give me a few minutes to collect myself, to get myself together? I will be with you in a moment, but please, just give me a little bit of time to myself." They were so busy, for many were coming and going. They attempted to separate themselves to get a little break. And the people saw them, and the people were chasing after them. And what we read here is that when Jesus came forth and he saw the multitude, what do we read in verse 34? He had compassion on them. It's amazing. He had compassion on them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "The place is desert, and the day is now far spent." Now it's in the evening. "Send them away, that they may go into the country and villages round about, and buy themselves something to eat." So now this has gone into the evening. And this is about 5,000 people here. When we read five, it's really, they're counting the men, so it's probably could be twice as much, because when they count, they often count by the number of men. But it probably was more than 5,000, most likely. So I want you to get the setting here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, people were coming and going. They were extremely busy. They had no leisure, not even to eat. They tried to get a little break. The people followed him. Jesus looks and sees them, and he has compassion on them. And he begins to teach them. And he instructs them. And he ministers to them. And he would have also been healing as well. But now the day is worn on. Disciples say, "Hey, send them away. We're out in the desert place. There's no food." You ever been somewhere where there's no place, there's no food? You gotta drive for miles to get to a nearest place if you're traveling or in the country. Not around here, but in the country area. And so they're out in this desert place, deserted place. And there you read the miracle when he feeds the multitude with the fishes and the loaves, right? Again, I haven't lost track of where I'm at. The question is, when did Jesus pray? The answer to that question is that Jesus, he made time for prayer. He made time for prayer. When did he pray? Well, there was no set time. But I want us to learn from this passage that he made time for prayer. He was extremely busy, and we are very busy. But he sought to do what he could to carve out some time So he can get along with his father. It didn't stop him from praying, as busy as he was. And I want you to see how he handles himself in this incident. All right, so here we read, I'm going to drop down to verse 42. So here's this crowd. He feeds them, and this is what happens. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up broken pieces, 12 basketfuls also of the fishes. And they that ate the loaves were 5,000 men, and it would have been more than that. Now notice what Jesus does. And immediately, that is Jesus, he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side to Bethsaida. Right? So now the disciples, he said, get into the boat. I want you to hurry up. I want you to go to the other side and meet me over there in Bethsaida. But Jesus is going to walk on the water and have some dealings with the disciples. And then we read, while he himself sends the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to do what? To pray. He departed into the mountain to pray. You see how he organized the whole situation? Very busy. He's going to have dealings with the disciples because he's going to challenge them so their faith may grow, because he put the disciples in circumstances where he knows what he's going to do. He's going to walk on water. He's going to come to them, and he wants them to learn something more about him. And he wants them to grow in their faith. And so Jesus is instructing his disciples by putting them in different circumstances where their faith has to be challenged. And so he's setting the stage for that. You go into the boat, go on over to Bethsaida. The people are now fed. He had compassion on them, right? He's not leaving them out to hunger. He had compassion. He taught. Most likely he would have healed some. They are fed. And now he sends the people away. And now he goes up into the mountain to have time for prayer with his father. When did he pray? He was very busy. He made time for prayer. He made time to pray. Now, and that's the thing I want to underscore here, is that with our lives, work, children, and even some health things can maybe be a hindrance to us and slow us down a bit, and it takes us longer to do things. But when you look at your time, you know, we learn from Jesus Christ that even though you may find yourself very busy and you feel like you don't have any time to yourself, learn from this example. Maybe you can carve out and work something out, and you probably don't have, you could just think ahead and say, you know what, husband, can you do this? And the husband may go out, or if they're children or whatever, if they're in school or they're older, whatever your circumstances. See, I don't know all your circumstances, so I don't want to make things up. But you get the point that I'm making, is that even if you can find, you know, sometimes I'll just use myself. Not that I'm. Sometimes I find myself at home. And maybe on a Saturday or during a week, because I'm between jobs right now. But sometimes if my wife is running errands and my kids, they're working, we drive this one to work, that one to work, and sometimes we're running around doing errands, and sometimes I say, wait a minute, the house is quiet. There's no one around. I need to use this time and seek this time and maybe pray for something. It may not be that I'm going to spend the whole afternoon, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, whatever it be. You see, there's an opportunity where you can use that time. You're going to do something else. I mean, you say, hey, I got an hour. I have 2 hours. I have to get this done. But you say, you know what? I actually have an opportunity. I have a little bit of opportunity of privacy. I can go into the room maybe just for 10 minutes or so, whatever it may be, and have that time to seek God in prayer. You see, that's what Jesus did. He made time for prayer. And this passage, I think it illustrates it well. And turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. When did Jesus pray? Now, this may not always be possible, but it is something that we should strive for in our routine. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. Yeah, actually, agree more, but we'll just start at verse 32. And at even, or at evening, when the sun did set, all right, sun went down, they brought to him all that were sick, and them that were possessed with demons, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he permitted not the demons to speak, because they knew him. Right? We've all been to hospitals, and we've sat in waiting rooms or to the doctor's office, and where you've seen so many people sitting around waiting to be seen by the doctor. And you look at their faces. Some people are in pain. Some people are in discomfort. Some people are impatient. And they're just kind of like, I got to get back to work and all kinds of things. But here you have all of these people brought to the door. And this would most likely be Peter's house, because previously in the verses before, he heals Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law. So they come to the door and all the city is there. And you have people there moaning and groaning. They're sick. They're in pain. And they want Jesus. They want to be healed. They're not going to the doctor. They're going to Jesus. And then you have those who have demon possession. Maybe the people are wallowing and ranting and yelling things because they're possessed by a demon, this erratic behavior. So you have this whole crowd and you have all these things going on. And Jesus heals. And he casts out demon. And this is at night. And he's doing this into the night. But what do we read in verse 35? He had a long night. He had a busy day, and he had a busy night. Verse 35, and in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. Again, Jesus knew. People were coming to see him. But Jesus was never thrown off his schedule. Jesus always went where he wanted to go, where he knew he needed to go. Jesus was not at the mercy of the crowds. He had compassion. And notice what he says, verse 36. And Simon and they, that is Peter, they were with him, followed after him. They probably saw that he went up and get out. So they also got up and said, well, where is he going? They followed after him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is seeking you. Now, Jesus had this time of prayer. And they said, everyone is seeking you. And he said unto them, let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for to this end came I forth. And he went into their synagogue throughout Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. So even though all the people came, Jesus said, I need to go to other places. And this is where we're going to go. Peter was saying, hey, everyone is seeking you. I understand, but we have to go elsewhere. But with all of this activity and all the people coming after Jesus to seek his help, he made time for prayer. He made time for prayer. So, brethren, let us not give up, complain, or murmur, or just say, I just never have any time alone. You know, remember when Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? He says, when you pray, enter into your inner chamber, and having shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. So, when did he pray? He made time for prayer. The second question is, where did he pray? I kind of jumped ahead of myself. Where did he pray? Well, here in this passage in Mark chapter 1, he prayed in a desert place. In Mark chapter 6, he was up in a mountain to pray. He prayed also when he was baptized, when he was coming out of waters of baptism. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, in verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. I'm going to combine a few things here for the sake of time. Verse 21, we read, "Now it came to pass, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus, also having been baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" But notice is that while he was baptized, he was praying. Even when he was being baptized, he was praying to his Father in heaven. He was praying. He prayed early in the morning. Also, if you turn to, see if we can turn to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is before he chose the 12. And notice what we read here. This is where, this also could be when and where. We can combine those two together. Verse 12, "And it came to pass in these days that he," that is Jesus, "went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom also he named apostles." Now here on this occasion, he prayed all night long. Now I don't know if it was constant prayer, or maybe he would have prayed and stopped, and maybe, I'm not really sure, and had different seasons of prayer, but he prayed throughout the night. And it says, "And when day, when it was day, he called his disciples." So all throughout the night unto the day. And this is such a critical thing. No doubt he would have been praying about the 12 that he was about to choose, about God's will and about the work of his kingdom and other things. It doesn't say what he prayed, but we do know it was a prayer all night long. And again, we can't do that all the time. There may be certain circumstances and situations we are in, very weighty and critical things are going on in our lives or in the life of the church or in the lives of people we know and love, or we have to make a decision. Not that we need to pray all night long, but there are times where we may have an extended time of prayer and meditation and reflection because we're wrestling with the matter. And so here, Jesus didn't do this all the time, but we see here, again, he was in a mountain, and he prayed all night long. Also, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. To Luke chapter 9. This is when he was transfigured, you know, when he was on the mountain, and he had Peter, James, and John, and his countenance was transfigured. Not that it was a different type of face, but it shone with the brightness of the sun. His clothes had were as white as no soap on earth could make it. And the disciples were amazed. We read here in Luke 9, verse 28, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these saying that he took with him Peter, and John and James and went up into the mountain to do what? To pray. And as he was praying, this is while he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his clothing became white and dazzling. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, meaning Jesus was about to be crucified. And so in preparing for that, Jesus would most likely have been praying about that. But there was Moses and Elijah, and they were speaking to Jesus about that which he was accomplished in Jerusalem. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us." That is, when Elijah and Moses was leaving, as they were leaving, Peter said, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles or booths or little tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter didn't know what he was saying. And then there was a voice that came out and says, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." And you know, Peter makes reference to this in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1. He makes reference to this, how he saw his glory. But here, the point is, Jesus was praying again in a mountain, and he was transfigured. At his baptism, when he was transfigured, early in the morning, he prayed throughout the evening. He went to seek to get apart from others to pray. And then, of course, we know Gethsemane, and we will, Lord willing, we'll look at that later on, perhaps this evening. But Gethsemane, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Sit ye here while I pray." And you can read that in Luke 22. We're familiar with that when he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And looking at the clock here, we're going to end on this point here. But take this away with you, brethren, from this class this morning, as brief as it is. Jesus made time for prayer. He prayed on various occasions, baptism, when he was transfigured, he went to the mountain, he prayed in the garden, he prayed wherever he could find place of solitude. And so for us, in following his example, brethren, may we seek to imitate him, and may this provoke you to look more for yourselves when you look at the example of Jesus Christ in our prayer. So let us pray and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time to consider this theme. And surely, Lord, when we think about you, Lord Jesus, there would be not enough Sundays to consider all that we need to know and learn about you and your prayer life and your example to us. But Lord, we do desire, as the disciples of old, we ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray like you prayed. Teach us to manage our time and to give us that wisdom to redeem the time, to buy up the opportunity, to take time to be holy, as the song says, to take time to call upon you in prayer. And we ask that you would help us, and we pray this in your name. Amen.